What is missing in your life? I want to give you a moment to think about that. You might want to close your eyes, but again, just take a moment to think about what is missing in your life. I asked members of the Faith Forum this morning that same question, and I asked them to write their responses on sticky notes, and they gave me permission to share some of them with you. I wonder if you might find some common ground with them. Close relationships with family members. A feeling that I am doing God's work. Time to rest. Exclamation mark. Husband's inability to connect with himself. Outside activities, entertainment, social gatherings. I miss being able to help the least fortunate in the way that I would like. The ability to find peace in my life. Forgiveness of a few mistakes. A sense of peace in our fractured society. Time to develop meaningful friendships. Time to be with myself, others, and God. Time. A supportive, healthy, loving relationship. I saw some heads nod as I read these just wonderful, honest responses about what is missing in people's lives at St. Matthew's. The two parables appearing in today's gospel are short but powerful. They are followed by the parable of the prodigal son. In each parable, something is lost that is later found. A shepherd who originally has 100 sheep loses one, and he leaves the 99 in order to find it. A woman loses a coin, and she turns her house upside down in order to find it. Amy Jill Levine, a Jewish New Testament scholar, says that the Pharisees, scribes, and the large crowd following Jesus would have been struck by the shepherd's and the woman's wealth. In Jesus' day, the average peasant was lucky to have one sheep. The woman most likely lost a drachma, which is a lot of money. Jesus' Jewish audience would have been shocked by the foolishness of the shepherd. Why would he leave the 99 to find the one, endangering them in the process? That doesn't make any sense. Who or what is lost? Are we lost? Who is found? And how does that happen? How can the lost be found? As you heard Maggie read these parables, you might have put yourself in the shepherd's shoes or maybe the woman's shoes. You might have thought that the parables encourage us to search for something that is precious to us, and they might. But what if we are the lost object? Perhaps we are lost to someone who, this parable assures us, is seeking us. It's interesting that these parables talk about God's nature in economic terms. They focus on things that people value, things that are meaningful to them. The shepherd values the health and the safety of his flock. The woman values her money. At the same time, both characters are clearly well off financially. So the parables, I think, are about more than the shepherd and the woman's livelihoods. Think for a moment about what's most precious in your life and what it would be like to lose it through theft, carelessness, intent, or disaster. You would be devastated. Some of us have lost people and things that are precious to us, children, parents, grandparents, animals, our health, our job, a house, a friend, a special heirloom. Without these people and things, life no longer feels complete. Part of the whole is missing. While this summer was a challenging one for me, I was thankfully able to get away for a week with my family to Dublin. And we had such a good time there. We saw all the Celtic sites. We loved the people, especially their wonderful stories. And the food was fantastic. But what really made an impression on me was the pubs. Our hotel was next to a really fun pub called The Barge, and our taxi driver even recommended it. And we went there a couple of times. It was like our neighborhood pub. Everyone was there. Young people, old people, professionals, the working class, people from every walk of life. It was like the Minnesota Fair. And there was such a celebratory spirit in the pub. It was like a big party. I mention the Dublin pub scene not because I've gone off on a tangent, but because one of the things that captured my attention in both of these parables, and in the parable of the prodigal son for that matter, is that all of them end with a community gathering together for a big party. They are gathering together to rejoice. So, interestingly, a situation that began with some grumbling Pharisees and scribes ends with celebration. There's a big mood shift here in this passage. The good and religiously upright people of the day are resentful that Jesus is sharing his life with a bunch of tax collectors and sinners. This is understandable. Not only did tax collectors skim profits off the taxes they collected from the people, they were collaborators with the Roman Empire. But here, Jesus is once again hanging out with the wrong people, and it gives him joy. Jesus understands that those on the fringe of community, the lost, are integral to what the community in all its fullness should be. I wonder if the parables are about a hospitality that seeks to restore those who are apart from community back again. Brings them back again to table fellowship, the pub. The way of love that we are in right now, we're exploring a practice each month, and this month, the practice that we're looking at is turn. Turn means change direction 180 degrees in the Greek, or turn from whatever is not of God and the life that God desires for you, a life of abundance which includes community and connection. Perhaps repentance also includes not seeing a community as whole until all are included and none are lost. God wants everyone at the party. I wonder if salvation not only means spiritual health and wholeness in Christ, but also being drawn into eternal celebration. And perhaps our salvation and that of others comes when we've experienced God's mercy and can extend it to ourselves and others. Perhaps when God finds us and restores us to community, we will learn that we are treasured by God not because of anything we've done, but because of who God is. God views us through the lens of mercy, not merit. We are precious to God, and others are precious to God. No one is outside the boundaries of God's love. In the silence that follows, I'd like you to ponder two questions. I wonder how what is missing in your life might be found. And what does it feel like to know that God is determined to find you? Amen.